Splash in the Springs Water Park for your perfect summer staycation. It's water park fun for the whole family. Springs Water Park at the Ingleside Hotel. Visit theinglesidehotel.com to learn more.
I'm Stacey Lynn. A federal judge has stepped into President Trump's battle with Harvard University. CBS's Bradley Blackburn with details.
America's oldest university sued the government over a plan to bar it from enrolling foreign students, saying it would have a, quote, immediate and devastating effect for Harvard and more than 7,000 visa holders. They also claim the order violates the First Amendment.
The judge put a temporary restraining order on the plan. Fresh tariff threats from President Trump. Yesterday, he said he's imposing a 50% tax on imports from the European Union and 25% on Apple if they don't make their phones in America. So who is really paying the price in the trade war?
In New York City's Chinatown.
Some is from Taiwan, Japan.
Imported goods cram the shelves of nearly every store, costing more because of the 30% tariff on China. It had been 145%. Specialty markets are getting hit, too.
We're a small mom-and-pop store just trying to make a living, survive.
Jennifer Myers runs a Greenwich Village shop that markets products from the UK, dealing with changing rules and prices.
We have seen it in wholesalers that we buy from. Prices are going up, and they will only continue to.
Steve Kathan, CBS News, New York.
These are desperate times at many food banks across the country.
Coordinators at food banks say income stagnation and rising living costs are increasing demand at their operations nationwide. Jason Jakubowski with Connecticut Food Share says many of his clients now find themselves on the other side of the equation.
Many of them come to us and say, I donated to you for years, and I never in a million years thought I would have to use this service.
Jakubowski saw a 25% increase in food demand last year, and he expects another double-digit increase this year. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
Reporter Marley Ginter tells us about a Memorial Day tradition at Sacramento's Old City Cemetery. Flags being planted on the graves of every person who served in the armed forces.
Row after row, a reminder of the sacrifices by those who lost their lives in the line of duty.
I don't think people recognize just how many people died in these wars.
It brought a tear to my eye.
An unwavering commitment to make sure these service members are remembered and honored this Memorial Day.
A major power outage has hit the area around Cannes in France on this final day of the city's film festival. Organizers say the closing ceremony will still go on. It's still unclear the cause of the outage. About 160,000 customers are affected. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. A group of Pierce County residents is pushing back against the expansion of Ridge Breeze Dairy. It would quadruple in size. Here's Judith Ruiz Branch.
Local business owner Larry Brenner says his home, land, and business is about a mile below the hill the dairy sits on. He says that makes him and tributaries like the Rush River that runs next to his property especially vulnerable to things like manure runoff and accidents.
That river is where my grandpa's land flowed through. So the fact that I now have a piece of that river flowing through my property, it's very special. And boy, it's threatened.
Brenner says the expansion could result in almost 80 million gallons of untreated manure annually, potentially affecting water sources and causing increased odor issues and noise from hundreds of manure trucks. Janelle Ludwig Kraus with Grassroots Organizing Western Wisconsin lives about 20 minutes from Ridge Breeze. Kraus's mother has terminal cancer, and she lost her brother to depression 8 years ago. She said when she learned that these conditions could be caused by exposure to carcinogens, like those used to treat manure, she was horrified.
Manure contains large amounts of nitrogen, which is a probable carcinogen. The odors that come from the manure can increase anxiety and depression, and this really hit me close to home.
Grow Wisconsin says they expect the expansion will be paused until the contested case hearing is resolved. In the meantime, they will continue to work with local communities to get more operations ordinances passed to help better regulate the agribusiness. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine, highs in the mid-50s. Partly cloudy, a low around 44 tonight. For Sunday, mostly sunny with highs in the upper 50s. Mostly sunny, 58 for Memorial Day. For Tuesday, slight chance of showers, otherwise clouds and a high near 60 degrees.
It's 39 at our studios.
Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Todd Alba will be here to break down all the news of the weekend. Kathy Giorgio, whose book has been banned in Waukesha, will join us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Cody Cup, Henny Cup,
because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. Hey, Kadigi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. And this portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we got a lot of things happening wrapping up this month, but I see in our notes there's one important thing coming up Saturday, and I think we're going to celebrate a little early.
Yeah, Robert, Dega, it's your birthday week. Happy early birthday.
Right on, Big Peeny Geegee. We'll be doing, Haley will be over, I think, on Thursday doing a live show at the Mother Station, and meaning our house, Macho Horus. And so it'll be exciting, and then we'll have little festivities after that. So great to have to be working with family, but also just being with family, right?
Yeah. Oh, I love working with you every day, Dega. I feel like we don't talk about it much. Our listeners probably don't know, but like, well, you've mentioned it a few times in different episodes, but you were adopted out of the family. So being able to work with you and get to know you these past 2 years every day has just been really a joy in my lifetime to gain another uncle and another family member. So it's just been so awesome to have you in the family.
Right on. And then plus Wendy and then the girls and now the babies too.
Yeah, the little twins. We got twins, two sets in our family. But yeah.
Right on.
Lots of stuff to celebrate. It's American Indian Month here, too, in Minnesota. Still going.
Right. Well, one thing I wanted to mention, Haley, too, that I'm in Madison right now at Civic Media at doing the broadcast live from their studio in Madison, Wisconsin. And tomorrow I will be on the Hill in Wisconsin talking about a new law coming up in Wisconsin that may kind of go against a little bit with ICWA. So I will be speaking to their chambers, their senators, and doing some talking here in Wisconsin. So I'm excited about that. And then I'll be heading home.
Oh, well, thank you for doing that, representing there in Wisconsin. Were you able to attend the American Indian Day on the Hill here at the state capitol in Minnesota on Monday?
Yes, I was. Yeah. That was Monday. Yeah. I was there till noon, and then I drove off to Wisconsin, to Madison. And, yeah, that was excellent. It was Shannon Geisha kind of ran that. And there was, I got to say this, there was a young Ho-Chunk who emceed it, and was really excited to see him. We got to get him on the show. I know his mother, and he's a high school student, and he emceed it, and it was great. And awesome. we got to see Lieutenant Governor and State Senator Mary Kunis speaking, and John Pupar, who's been doing work for 50 years for our community.
Yeah, did I see that? Was it Jerry Dearly that was recognized too?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I worked with Jerry very many, many years ago at Harding High School. He was the language teacher. And what's interesting about Jerry too, and I'd love to do a documentary someday on the Red Schoolhouse, but he taught there years ago when they first started in the 70s and early 70s. And that was an American Indian movement kind of survival school that was started by AIM, and has a rich history, and it went on for 20 years.
Oh, wow. You know, that's funny you bring that up, actually, the schoolhouse, because I was just talking with my Gaga, your aunt, Robert, and she was telling me about how her and my great-grandma, your grandma, would go to, like, the AIM meetings and stuff in Minneapolis when that was starting, and she talked about, like, the schoolhouse starting up. So it's just cool to connect the dots, especially when your family members were living that moment.
Right. Well, and we have a couple of our relatives that went to the Red Schoolhouse.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably why they talk about it so much.
Yeah. So we had a cousin of mine, and it would be a great cousin of yours, that went there. And so, yeah, it's just a rich history in the Twin Cities. And that's a thing that I would love to do, is do a documentary on that and find out the history of what went on there. Because there's still, like, there's still sugar bushing at places that AIM started. And so there's still deep history and deep roots in the Twin Cities, and now in the whole state of Minnesota with Minnesota Indian Month here.
Yeah. Got to really shout out the leaders who paved the way for us to be here and to celebrate the whole month, because it was just a day and then a week. And yeah, important. We could talk. I want to ask Dr. Stately, too, a little bit about that history. I know his family lived in South Minneapolis when American Indian Movement got started. So we can talk to Dr. Stately a little bit. We're going to have Ruth Anna Buffalo on from Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center up next.
Yeah, definitely. And I got to give a shout out, too. There'll be a powwow in Black River Falls. And then my birthday weekend, that'll be, I guess, Saturday and Sunday. And I've made it out to there. I'll also be out to Gopher State, which is a big AA kind of convention. 8,000 to 10,000 people show up to that. And it's very powerful to see those kind of numbers in recovery. There's a whole bunch of other things going on, this weekend.
Yeah. We got Memorial Day coming up Monday, Memorial weekend, which is flew up on us, well, at least up me. But yeah, that's a day we honor, remember, and mourn those who have passed while serving in our military. It is a big powwow weekend for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So at those powwows, they do honor those in our sovereign nations that have served here in the United States, protecting our land and our relatives. And nearly 19% of Native Americans have served in the armed forces versus an average of 14% of all other ethnicities. Since 9/11.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, underline that, all other ethnicities. That's amazing. And we, as Native people, really look up to our elders and our military. Pretty much, we look up to them, and they can't do no wrong for us. Hey, one thing, too, I wanted to mention. I'm going to be in Wisconsin, so I might have to get in my laptop and figure this out. But the Timberwolves, the Wolves are going to, you know, coming down the north here, and they're going to mess with the Thunder. So Oklahoma City Thunder. So I like that.
Oh, got a howl for the Timberwolves. I'm so excited. I'm like, I've been kind of like pre-caffeinating up before the show, just to, so it kicks in at the, you know, the right amount of time. We got the NBA playoffs game one tonight, 7:30 Central Time, the Timberwolves versus Oklahoma City Thunder. But then also PWHL, we got our Professional Women's Hockey League, the Minnesota Frost, last year's champions, are back in the finals this year. Tonight they take on the Ottawa Charge at 7 Eastern Time, so 6 o'clock here Central Time.
Hey, and I'm really glad that you put this up on our notes. And our notes is a WNBA. The Minnesota Lynx is celebrating Native American Heritage Night with Prairie Island Rally Towels. And that's coming up Friday. So,
yeah,
we might have to try and sneak out there. The towels are white and blue and green, Dakota florals. And we can't find the artist name right off the top, but that's coming way up. We should amplify that.
Yeah, I think that's something they do every year. The Lynx kind of hook up with Prairie Island and do this. They're also going to be members of the Prairie Island will perform their flag song. And there's going to be singers and dancers performing at the halftime show. So check it out, the Minnesota Lynx. I was going to see who they're playing. But anyways, you can keep an eye out for Alyssa Peely, who is right. Samoan and the Inupiaq Alaska native, and she is number 35 for the Minnesota Lynx.
Hey, right on. And then Ho-Chunk's out there. I got to do my duty and say you only have till May 25th to mail in your ballot. There's another election coming up. You're really important. They're all important, and we have to fight sovereignty. And I guess we don't have any bumper music, so I'll sing. Da, 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 da. We'll be right back after this short break. Da, 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 da.
We are a loosened nation.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Are you having trouble hearing? Hearing loss can devastate the quality of your life. Now, there's an affordable fix for you or your loved one. Rated the best hearing aids of 2025 by Forbes Health, Audion Hearing has the highest quality hearing aids at the lowest prices, starting at just $98 a pair.
I actually like them better than my old $5,000 hearing aid.
I could not believe how my hearing and life changed.
Join over 1 million happy customers by going to audionhearing.com. That's A-U-D-I-E-N hearing.com.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by J.S. Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
Hey, I'm just wondering, Haley, we got a little minor problem here, and we are off Facebook right now, and I'm wondering, do you think our guests are able to get on, seeing that the live feed stopped?
I think so. They should be able to still hop on, and
I know I'm not able to
feed in here.
Right. Well, I'm wondering if new people, because of the new, because it closed down. And I know when I've left, when the show has ended, I have not been able to get back in.
That's a good question. Yeah. I could make a new. Hey,
we're working this out. This is live radio.
Hey, thanks for tuning in.
Yeah, we're checking out, seeing how well we are in our technical abilities on the fly. And I know, geez, I'd like to, I don't know how many shows we've done. I think I had a number of around 5,000 shows that we've done already. And so nothing bothers me now, Haley. It's just like another day, another dollar. But I'm just curious about if we're able to get our other hosts on.
Yeah, I'm trying to create a separate room here that we could set up and go into, but I have to share the link out and send them emails here. So just a little bit of multitasking.
Yeah. Awesome. Hey, so I'll go back to our Ho-Chunk people that have to have until May 24th to mail in your ballot. You know, tribes locally and across the state are coming up on elections, and we want everyone to pay attention. They're very important, especially now, of the dates and things, and especially with what's going on federally. There's a lot of frightening things that are happening with the tariffs and all these things that are going down. And we've gone through this before, Haley, meaning the Native Americans. So this is something that's not really different for us. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's a little scary though too.
Right. I think I have Ruth in the room here. Ruth, can you hear us okay?
Yes.
Oh, good. Hey. We are not able to have our live stream going right now. So okay. We're just radio.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but you look great, and I like the way you got the background there. That looks good with that square lamp and stuff. Hey, yeah. Cool. Well, great seeing you. What's going on? You know, it's Native American Heritage Month still, and I know that you guys are doing, Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center are hosting a kids' night coming up on the 28th.
Yes. Yep. It's the lacrosse, and we're looking forward to it. It's a partnership between the Twin Cities Native Lacrosse League. Twin Cities Native Lacrosse. We are collaborating with them on this event, and so yeah, it was rescheduled from earlier in the month. So yeah, partnership with David Butler. Stop by, learn about, you know, the Creators game, as you mentioned before, the history of lacrosse and making a lacrosse stick, and we'll have a free meal provided. Please RSVP with Anicia, and you can reach her at 612-919-2809, and this will be May 28th from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. in the community room gym at MIWRC, which is 2300 15th Avenue South, Minneapolis.
Wow, that's awesome. And the Creators game, and I know so many young ones just pick up the game. I've heard so many stories over the years, Haley and Ruth Anna, about young ones just grabbing a stick and really being intuitive, like it's in their bones and DNA.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's that. Yeah, I think, you know, not to be biased, but yeah, I think we have some really, really strong bloodlines with athletes, you know, whether it's mm-hmm. lacrosse, whether it's swimming, horseback riding, Indian horse relays, wrestling, running, basketball, football. I mean, it's just, yeah, it's a proud legacy to be a part of, even if you're not from that particular tribal nation. It's still, you just still feel a sense of like pride and being proud to be Native.
Right on. Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center's open house is coming up this Thursday, noon to 4, and it's like a mini powwow with ice cream truck, cakewalk, raffle prizes, giveaways. I don't know about you, Haley, but I'm excited.
Hey, it's also on your birthday too, Robert, so a little wow. birthday party too for you.
Cool. We'll have to ask them to sing a happy birthday song.
In a good way. Oh, wow. Yeah, definitely. Well, that's really amazing, and congratulations on this. And I think you're going to be out of town, but again, we're going to have the parade on the 30th. Is your team still going to be in it with their float?
Yes. Yep. We still are full steam ahead. I may try to check it out in the morning, then just head up north right after for my son's graduation. But yeah, we're excited, and yeah.
Wow. So you're still not going to tell us what it is?
No, it's a surprise.
As it should be.
Oh, I don't know how I could have done that. So hey, with the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center here that's going 40 years strong, your team does such great work. Do you have any current openings for hiring for any of the roles there?
We do. We have been advertising for a development officer. It's part-time, and that position would help you know, bring in additional funding, just out in the community, building relationships. And that position essentially would, you know, fund itself eventually, but it's, you know, just fundraising, really strengthening our donor base. And so we have the development officers, which is part-time, and then we have a grant and contract compliance manager position as well that has been advertised as the same length of time as our development officer position. We also have a mental health professional position being advertised, and we have front desk receptionist and security position. We also have a drop-in center support worker position and a sexual assault advocate as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot. That's, if that's the openings, how many people work for you? I don't, that's amazing.
Yeah. We're, you know, doing a little bit of restructuring, but we're, you know, strengthening our foundation and wanting to continue to serve to the best of our ability to the community. But lots of exciting things happening and just full steam ahead.
So are you going to be in town for the Lynx game on Friday the 23rd? I guess it's Native American Heritage Night, and I know you're a big basketball fan.
I am. I believe so. I believe so. And I know the tickets for the playoff game for the Timberwolves went on sale last Friday, and we were kind of checking those up. I was like, holy man, like the nosebleed section, you know, at the very top, where there's just the wall behind you, those seats were running at like $200 a piece for those seats.
What?
You know? Yeah. And very limited. Wow. But so yeah, it would be cool to check out a Lynx game though, for sure. It's cool that
Alyssa Peely. Yeah.
She's going to be back for another season. So that's pretty amazing to see.
Super excited. Yeah,
we had her on the show last year, right, Haley?
Yeah, when she was just drafted to the Lynx. I hope she gets some more playing time this year, because she was amazing when she did get to be out on the court.
Yeah, that was awesome to watch. Yeah, cool. We're trying to get into another league. A glutton's punishment. No, just kidding. But we're trying to get into another league, and then our ringer's back for the summer. my daughter's back for the summer, the oldest daughter.
Nice.
Yeah, but yeah, right looking on. Forward to enjoying the lakes and getting more exercise and walking in and kayaking.
Yeah.
So are you a 3-point shooter or a rebounder, or what's your forte?
All round.
Superstar.
when you just want to run from like 3-point line to 3-point line. Yeah, no, just kidding. Yeah. Yeah,
oh, wow.
Hit some threes. Getting gassed, cool. You know, like,
yeah,
that's awesome. We have to go down there and videotape a game, Haley.
That'd be fun, or at least come cheer, you know,
right?
Play some funny music in the background, like some clown music,
yeah,
or music.
Clown music.
Just kidding, no, yeah, joking.
Just come,
no.
Down, come down for a free jersey. Oh, wow,
yeah.
cool. I think we're rolling out now. Here, we got 1 minute left. Anything else you'd like to bring up? Of course, how people can support you, I'd love you to bring up too.
Sure. Yep. Please, you know, as always, donate if you can, or spread the word. If you know of, you know, anyone willing to, you know, just that is looking for a place to donate money to, you know, where, you know, think of us, Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. We're located at 2300 15th Avenue South. We're thankful for individuals, families, communities thinking of us, you know, in honor of loved ones that have recently passed too. We really appreciate, you know, your kindness and thoughtfulness and giving to MIWRC in honor of your loved one. We have a ledger art session that all spots have been filled. Just want to, you know, put a plug in there for a friendly reminder to please remember to show up. And that is May 22nd at MIWRC from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. So, to get odds. Thank you.
Hey, Big Peeny Gigi, Ruth Anna, thank you so much. We'll see you next week.
Okay.
We'll see you Thursday. We'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio.
Alusa Nation.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation.
540 WAUK.
CBS News Brief. A federal judge blocked the Trump administration from barring foreign student enrollment at Harvard. Tobias Pusch is the president of the Harvard Scholarship Foundation in Germany.
Somebody has to stand up against the bully and raise a flag, and it should not be a white flag of surrender.
CBS's Steve Kathan tells us a trade war is having a big impact on small businesses.
Jennifer Myers runs a Greenwich Village shop that markets products from the UK, dealing with changing rules and prices.
We have seen it in wholesalers that we buy from. Prices are going up and they will only continue to.
Yesterday, the president said he was slapping new tariffs on the EU and Apple. Food banks across the country are struggling.
Coordinators at food banks say income stagnation and rising living costs are increasing demand at their operations nationwide.
That's correspondent Jim Crisula reporting. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacy Lynn.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
A wild finish for the Brewers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and the Pirates all tied up in the bottom of the 10th last night in Pittsburgh. Milwaukee pitcher Abner Uribe on the mound. Runners at second and third base. Uribe losing control of the pitch with two outs on Sports Network TV Pittsburgh.
Gets away! How about that? Raise the Jolly Roger after all! It's a walk-off.
The Pirates went on to win 6-5 over the Crew after Uribe's wild pitch. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
We did some good things, and there's some youthful mistakes. I feel like these struggles will help in the long run.
Game 3 of the series this afternoon. NFL, last night was the Packers' annual charity softball game. The offense beat the defense 6-4. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine, highs in the mid-50s. Partly cloudy, a low around 44 tonight. For Sunday, mostly sunny with highs in the upper 50s. Mostly sunny, 58 for Memorial Day. For Tuesday, slight chance of showers. Otherwise, clouds and a high near 60 degrees.
It's 39 at our studios.
Listen for This Week in Waukesha, a weekly podcast presentation from 540 WAUK.
Hey, it's Downtown Danny Brown. And This Week in Waukesha, we are acting locally, thinking globally with Ron Gulata of UWM Waukesha as they talk about Corby's Last Roar, a celebration of UWM Waukesha's 58 years of service to our community before they close in June of this year.
To hear the show, go to waukradio.com and search for This Week in Waukesha, a weekly podcast from WAUK.
Keeping you connected to your local community with good news and great conversation. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's a hit. Milwaukee Brewers baseball cards are being shared in several communities across the state. The partnership is with police officers in Green Bay, La Crosse, Kenosha, Milwaukee, and Madison, and meant to be an icebreaker between the cops and kids. Here's Brewers President of Business Operations, Rick Schlesinger.
Eventually want to do it to more than just the major cities. So we're trying to get around the state as best we can and sort of engage with our friends around the state. We're a statewide team. We're not just a Milwaukee team.
So see an officer, ask for your own comic book style baseball cards featuring all your favorite Brewers players. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
When a parent sees their child smile, they see hope. Aleem hoped that his son Rajib would have an easier life than he had. You see, Rajib, just like his father, was born with a cleft. But thanks to Smile Train, both father and son received free, life-changing surgeries, transforming their smiles into symbols of hope. To learn more and support the global cleft community, visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, changing the world one smile at a time.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time for a very special Memorial Day episode. We talk to Jeremy Lyon from the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs on our cemeteries, honoring our veterans, and more. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2-4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do. Hey, we are back, and anybody that was watching us live on Facebook, we have opened up a new link to Blue Sky, Facebook, YouTube, and X. So come on and join us, and check out my nice new medallion that was gifted to me.
That was beautiful beaded medallion there, Dega.
It's got an eagle in there.
An eagle or a Chaw-Shep. For Ho-Chunk, we say Chaw-Shep. Mm-hmm. Oh, pretty. I like the bright colors on that. It was that... Oh, very nice, very nice.
Thank you. I can't wait for my birthday because things like that come my way in the birthday, too.
That's true.
So how is the weather there? I mean, I don't want to revert to the weather, but how's the weather there? Because we had major downpour here in Wisconsin, in Madison specifically.
It's still pretty rainy. It's still very cold. And I'm not sure. I've been trying to keep an eye on how those wildfires are doing up in the northeastern part of the state, but I think they've been getting some rain also. Hoping for the temps to be better.
One of our friends up there, a documentary person that I did not realize had a home up there, her place was burned down. And I don't want to say her name and embarrass her, but I just want to say that I definitely put tobacco down. And that's a sad situation.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. Take care of your relatives and check in on those that are living up in near the reservations like Fond du Lac and I think was it like Boys Ford around that area too?
Yeah, definitely. Hey, we have our friend Dr. Stately, who's a CEO and president of a Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities in Minneapolis. And geez, there must be so much going on there with the clinic and the new clinic, and just to really, really happy for the community to have this going on. And Dr. Stately, welcome. Haley and I were kind of talking about, again, the history of Native American Month here in Minnesota and how much AIM really brought to the table. And we know your mother, your late great mother was involved heavily with the AIM. And we just wanted to bring that up to you because I know you have a lot of stories and this is part of their legacy.
I think it's trying to remember, I guess, like my earliest memories of like American Indian Month is like it started in the early 70s, like 73, 74, something like that. Anyway, I was a little punk when that thing started happening. I say punk because, I was like 12 or 13 and I was like on the Ave and,
smoking, having cigarettes.
Oh, I probably was smoking by then. Yeah, that's true. I was smoking cigarettes by then, that's something I learned in boarding school, which I did. I got in trouble one time. I stole a package of Old Gold, a carton of Old Gold cigarettes off of a priest's front. his front seat in his car. It was a Rambler. I was able to get in the car and I stole the pack, carton of cigarettes, and then we ran up into the hills. And me and my friends smoked almost in like a good like three or four packs.
Oh my goodness! Those cartons are expensive.
Well, not back then they were.
They were 28 cents a pack back then.
Yeah, they were like $5 for 10 packages.
Oh gosh.
So if you used to get your cigarettes out of a machine, it was funny. We'd put 30 cents in and they'd have 2 cents taped to the pack. So when you opened it up, you got you put 30 yeah. cents in, and there was 2 cents taped on the pack for your change.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I always said I was going to quit smoking when it turned 50 cents, and then it was like, oh, now it's 75. Oh, now it's a dollar. Oh, now it's $4. Yeah. Finally quit when it got around
I
there. But...
that the other day. I said, I remember I could buy a pack of cigarettes for 53 cents. I was in high school.
Wow.
Well, it was like the 70s, you know, and nothing, something got, you know. I remember, do you remember the, remember the energy crisis in the late 70s? A gallon of gas was like 78 cents, and people were like, oh my God, it's so expensive.
People are lined up filling up their tanks because right. the end of the world was happening.
I want to
back up a second though and just make a mention of this. When AIM really had their office on Franklin Avenue and things were starting, there was bars everywhere. I mean, the scope, how much that changed, Dr. Stately.
Well, you know, when I was 23 years old, I was like about 3 months sober or 4 months sober. And February of 1985 or 86. I moved to Los Angeles. I was 23 years old. I got sober in October of 25. And I remember there were still a bunch of bars here on Franklin Avenue, like all the bars that I kind of grew up with, you know, Bear's Den, you know, Arts was still here. The Corral was still here. Some of the other... you know, Bliss Liquors was right there across from the Indian Center. It's kind of like where I stop in and get my supplies for the weekend on payday. And, you know, there was all this, like, right here on Franklin Avenue and within the corridor, there was like 5 or 6 bars, you know? And so when I came back in 2009, when I moved back home with my children, I came back to Minnesota after being gone for about 20 some years, 23 years, 24 years. It was just so different. It's just really, really different. Right. And that was one of the notable things. And it's like, you know, that's a remarkable thing that we don't often talk about is like how we were able to get those, you know, the community was able to get those bars out of our community. Right. And, transform that work. And but also I remember I was just trolling through some of my old pictures from because I'm making a post. My kids turned 18 on Friday.
Yeah.
And
I turned 64 on Saturday.
Oh wow, gosh, so you're 3 times the age they are.
Quick math.
And actually a little bit more than 3 times, but the point being, who's counting? I was going through the thing. I saw pictures. I saw a picture of my mom and my dad. Yeah. This really old, cool black and white picture of my mom and my dad and my auntie Jeanette and Dennis Banks on a couch, you know, from like black and white picture from like early days. It would have been probably in the early 60s, maybe 60 or 61. Certainly before I was born, because my mom and my dad were separated and divorced by the time I was born. So it was before I was born.
Wow.
In 62. But, you know, just like going through a bunch of old pictures of, you know, those relatives of mine that were all kind of alive at the end of the 50s and the early 60s when that work was just kind of starting, you know. I was talking to somebody the other day about how, you know, my memories of some of that when I was a young kid, living in the Southeast Projects over there by the Witch's Hat. And how I would remember Dennis and the Belcourt brothers, my uncles, Vernon and Clyde, and, Mitch and a bunch of other people would come over to my mom's house, and they all, like, you know, go down into the basement. my mom would like stop, like, cause I was the curious kid. I was like, I wanted to know what was going on. You know, I was that kid, like on Friday and Saturday nights, if I was in my bedroom and they were in the living room playing cards and drinking and having fun, I'd be laying, you know, at the bottom of my floor looking like I'd pull the sheet up because we didn't have doors in my house. We had sheets over the doorways and I would like look under the sheet and like try to figure out who was who by based on their shoes and them walking back and forth, the sound of their voices. But wow. those are memories that I have of people, like just all those times that they would come over to our house and my mom would be like, stay up here, don't come down here, this is adult business, we're talking adult talk here, you know. And I just remember, and like, you know, you're just a kid and you're like, all these people, all these relatives are coming over and, you know, they're eating soup and having long conversations in the basement and you think, God, I wonder what they're talking about. You know, I was that kid. I wanted to know what adults were talking about because I knew they were talking about important stuff. Mm-hmm. And here, you know, like they're having conversations about early planning for like, you know, CIA, Concerned Indians of America, right? Which we eventually American Indian. Wow. And, you know, just like those are my earliest memories as a child. I also think about like how I was at 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, you know, kind of like that period of time in my life when the corridor was. I remember when the Indian Center was built and it first opened up, I was a young boy, like maybe 12 or 13 years old. And I remember, you know, when Ancient Traders Market was built, this shopping mall that NAC is in, I remember all those things. And I remember my mom traveling and going all over the place, going all over the state, going to DC, going to Denver to talk about ICWA and all these things. Like, I had no understanding at all as a small young boy what that was all about. I didn't, who would know that any of that work that my mom and all those other leaders in our community that were doing in the early 70s, the foundation that they were laying for the things that we have in our lives today, right? And no. Mm-hmm. So
it's amazing. Kind of amazing. That's awesome. We're going to talk more with Dr. Stately, and we're going to be right back. This is Native Roots Radio.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlum.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
In this portion of the show, we like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunts. How?
No. No. Hey, we're here with Dr. Stately, CEO and president of Native American Community Clinic. Hey, I got a quick question I want to jump on and ask you real quick before we get back to kind of the history of Franklin again. That was really interesting, but I wanted to mention this to you that during Pride, we're going to do a live show at Pride on Saturday at 1 o'clock. And I'm wondering if you can come down there, if you're going to be around, because we're going to have a special co-host too. Jace Rowe is going to be on, and he's a huge TikToker. So yeah. It'd be great to have you both on. Yeah, it'd be great to have both of you on if you're in the city.
I'd be happy to if I'm in the city. There might be a small chance that I'm in Los Angeles that week.
Well, we might have to bribe you with a Resist shirt or something.
the same Resist shirt that you gave me the last 2 years.
Well, it'll be newer.
It won't be you. The one that like is all sparkly and yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite one.
You want it? Yeah, mine too.
Yeah, it is lovely. You know, you really need to update your swag there, dude.
Okay, we'll get you a Resist hat.
I'll beat it for you.
There you go.
Yeah,
a beaded Resist hat. That sounds lovely.
There you go, Haley.
Yeah, I'd be more than happy to. I don't actually. I'm embarrassed to say I don't even know the dates for Pride this year.
The 20th of June.
The 20th of June. I'm pretty sure I'm gone that week, actually, now that I think about it.
I know. I am too. I didn't even put that in my calendar. I did book a camping trip the same weekend.
You know, somebody has really got to talk to these gays. Honestly.
It's probably like the same weekend every year.
It is. Well, you know what? Actually, I think there is this thing where, like, all the major cities, like every 4 years or something like that, or every 5 years, I forget what it is. Anyway, at some like regular consistent calendar of some type, they all have them on the same day. And that's kind of like an intentional thing to sort of like show like the strength and the power of like, you know, how big the gay community and how big the supporters of gay communities are. So that's always a really remarkable thing. I remember one of my first times being back here in Minnesota after I moved home, I took my sons, who were very, very small, 3 or 4 years old, I think, to a gay pride festival. And yeah, my son wanted to know like what that guy was wearing and why he didn't have any underwear on. He was wearing chaps. I was like, well, maybe we should probably bring these guys back when they're about 7 or 8. So you have a little thoughtful conversation with them about what's going on. But it was one of those, I think it was that event where it was like every, like Milwaukee, Chicago, Los Angeles, San Francisco, New York, all the big cities, the big, huge cities, they all had their gay pride on the exact same day, which was like such, I remember seeing it on the news, how remarkable it was. But yeah, I mean, I think, there's a good chance that I'll be able to make it, but I know we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, well, that beaded hat, Haley's going to make you.
That would be, you know, that could be a deal breaker for, you know, I'm on the chair of this board for a large Native clinic in Los Angeles that we're having our retreat. So, but, you know, I'll have to see what they can offer me. If they can offer me. Something that's, you know, like, you know,
yeah,
not an old Resist shirt, right?
Something better.
not an old shirt, yeah.
I have a question for you, Dr. Stately, not to change the subject or anything, because this is really funny. But yeah. I remember you saying this, I think last time you were on, and you were saying your allergies were bad. And this just made me think, I had a question, because I have always gotten bad allergies. Do natives, is that a thing for Native Americans to get seasonal allergies? And then what do we do that helps?
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, it's a thing for anybody who's a human being, because, like, you know.
I mean, okay, so that answers my question.
I mean, the biological structure of I love when people ask that question. They're always like, well, is there like a biological thing? I was, well, first of all, let's just be really clear, like, we're biologically the same as every other person on the planet. There's about 99.6% of us that's biologically similar. You know, there's about maybe, I don't know, 0.5 or point, you know, let's just go with between 0.5 or half of a percent to 1% of us that makes us biologically a little bit different, you know? Mm-hmm. It's important to know that DNA is not the same as, like, you know, the things that are cellular structures and stuff like that. So we are the same as, you know, but it's, what's really important is to know that, you know, that 0.5 or that 0.1% of who we are as Indigenous people, that thing that makes up our culture, our life ways, the things that are our knowledge systems, the way that we, the worldview we have, makes us very, 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 very different from the rest of the planet in some really unique ways.
Unfortunately, so biologically,
none of that has any governance over your allergies, however.
So biologically, we are unique, just like everybody else.
Yeah. I mean,
so you develop a resistance of it depending on where you are in the turtle.
No, island. I mean, a lot of that has more to do with your environment and your relationship to the environment. So, you know, like I'm allergic to cats and dogs, which is really ironic because I have four. I have two cats, two dogs. And so I basically live on Zyrtec and the other one. So I take one in the morning, one at night, so that I can basically, you know, survive and not, you know, die from not being able to breathe. Because I love these little creatures that have, like, mm-hmm. become like little family members to me.
Yes.
And then, you know, I'm always vacuuming my house, and I bought myself a little shark air filter thing that's supposed to just filter my whole entire house, and, you know, all the things that we go through. And then, like, right now your allergies are bad because, like, there's been a big shift in the weather, and, you know, we had a couple of different fits and starts with winter and summer, like, you know, the and then they closed because it was actually too cold. Like, it was like two warm weeks and then freezing cold and then two warm weeks, and now it's cold again and rainy. So, but it's also been really super windy, like really, really windy. So all that pollen is blowing all over the place.
That's right.
So it's like,
and my toupee is loose too.
Yeah, I was going to talk to you about that.
That wind.
So I'll just deal with the ragweed forever.
Well, you know what you can do, and I mean, if you have good insurance or you have a little pot of money set aside, you could actually go and get an assessment on your allergies. Mm-hmm. Like, you can have an allergy panel done on you, and you can find out all the things that you're allergic to. And then they can actually give you a allergy shot once a month. I have considered that because sometimes I'll forget. Like, I went to Ireland a couple of weeks, if you remember, and I went there and I forgot to bring my allergy meds with me. And the first few days I was there, I was fine. And then all of a sudden, it got that weather shifted and changed, and I started getting, and I also went from one place in Ireland to another place in Ireland, different environment. And I started noticing, like, my allergies were really acting up and I didn't have any allergy meds with me.
Well, Dr. Stately, thanks again for being on the show, and you're great. And, you know, we'll have to do this again.
We will most certainly do it again.
Right on. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks, Haley, Dr. Stately, and Ruth Anna Buffalo. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, we'll rebroadcast some recent clips as we take time off to honor Memorial Day and those whose sacrifices gave us the freedom we continue to defend.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though. Because
probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by T-Mobile Business Advantage.
I'm Stacey Lynn. The European Union is responding to President Trump's threat to impose a 50% tariff on all its imports and says it wants to make a deal with the U.S.
I'm not looking for a deal. I mean, we've set the deal. It's at 50%.
But even though he says that, CBS's Major Garrett thinks this is all part of the president's strategy.
There used to be a commercial on television with a popular cell phone provider. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? That's what the president was doing to the European Union. Cumbersome thing trying to negotiate a trade deal with a 27-block economic union. The president is trying to accelerate that. It is a means by which to accelerate conversations getting closer to a deal.
President also says he's slapping a 25% tariff on all smartphones not made in America. A federal judge temporarily put the brakes on the administration trying to stop Harvard from being allowed to enroll international students. But these students from Ireland and China are still worried.
You know that you're fine if you're still legally in the United States for the next 90 days, but you don't know that you can come back and finish your degree. You don't know if you can stay and work in the U.S. There are still so many unanswered questions.
The situation really makes me wondering whether this is a good option for international.